You know they're called now fruit by the foot.
I think I did know that.
They're called Dunkaroos. Yes. Now there is still such a thing as
Dunkaroos. We have Dunkaroos. Okay.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
Listeners, we have a treat today. We have Erica Wright in the house.
Hello.
Which I'm hoping, Erica, like we'll have a Casey Erica discussion, but I'm hoping that at some point E-dubs rolls out.
You know what? I wanted to start off with like, guess who's back?
Right.
Back again.
I mean, totally. But
I don't know if people would get it, you know? I don't know. Email us if you got that reference.
I love it. And I love it when E-dubs rolls out.
I know she rolls out at the most inappropriate time.
And y'all, E-dubs is, in fact, it's still Erica. We are still talking about Erica, but sometimes Erica, who is always kind and nice and not soft-spoken, but just very, you know, gathered, I guess.
Yes.
You're always, you know, always have it together. Absolutely. E-dubs is when somebody kind of provokes that inner.
And it's like an attitude. It's like, who are you talking to? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's hi. It's the North Charleston in me.
Which I love.
It's the North Charleston.
Which I love. I love it when, and because you fully acknowledge when E-dubs comes out.
Yeah, she's real.
She's real.
We try not to bring her out too often. But guess what today is, guys?
What is today?
It's my anniversary, 3 years
with the
Municipal Association.
Well, congratulations.
Woo-hoo. Shout out to you and Scott for giving a sister a chance.
Hey,
I'm still here.
I will say it now. I said it then. I say it every year. During your interview when you were like, look, I don't have any experience doing any of this, but if you just give me a chance, I know I can do it.
I remember leaving that interview and y'all asked me how many legislators I knew. And I thought I just failed in that moment. And then I got the call. No, Todd told me I'd gotten a job. And when I tell you, I like did an old Baptist church shout in the lobby before I knew there were cameras in the lobby. So I think Vanessa, our receptionist, may have seen that, but happy
you
to be here. 3 years.
Your hands up.
I did.
How do you feel after 3 years? I mean, you've passed bills. You've done everything.
I'm still learning, but this has been the best session I've had so far. Mm-hmm. It just keeps getting better and better.
You're balling this. I mean, you were balling last session.
I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah, you're killing it. You're killing it right
now. Thank you.
And we love having you. We love having you on staff. We have a great team. We have a great dynamic and it just wouldn't be the same without you. So I'm glad that you're with us.
I am very happy to be here. Now, if a listener knows what movie that came from.
Wait a minute. Are we doing movie quotes? Because this is going to be amazing.
It's one of my favorite movies. I am very happy to be here. Okay. I'm not doing the accent right, but it's Coming to America, Eddie Murphy.
You said that during the staff meeting that was your favorite was Coming to America.
Yes, I love it here.
Amazing. Speaking of Eddie Murphy and other celebrities, every week, Erica, you know, I give Scott a trivia question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving away from what I give to him. I try to stay technical with Scott because he likes to, you know, he likes to talk about
the map in his head.
The map in his mm-hmm. head and all the places he knows and all the stuff just from being on the road for so long.
Yes.
So I'm going to take a shift and we're going to go down the celebrity track.
Okay.
And we are going to talk about famous people from South Carolina.
Okay.
So we're going to start off before we get in. We got to be technical.
Okay.
We got to get technical today because we got bond reform. We got ARP. We got,
that's right.
You know, we got all this other stuff.
That's right.
We got hate crimes. We got tort reform. But here's the trivia question. I'm going to ask you the question. Later on, we'll come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe next week, if we can get Joni on too and you and Scott and everybody, we'll just keep going down the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Celebrity track.
Right.
Okay.
We'll just keep going down because I kind of like this, Mr. Producer. I think you're going to, in talking, I think we've got some more to add to our massive trivia list.
Oh, we have a lot. We have many celebs.
A lot. All mm-hmm. right. Erica, here's your question.
Okay.
What city in South Carolina is the birthplace of actor Chadwick Boseman? Think about that.
Okay.
Think about Black Panther.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. And we'll get back to that later on after we've bored everybody to tears with our discussion on Bottom
Four. That's likely going to happen.
After we have just bored everybody to tears. So when we started recording the podcast, the Senate had pretty much finished their business for this Thursday, for this week. They were doing some, you know, random, just kind of local bills and local recognitions when we came in the studio. What they did do yesterday, Wednesday, they did give bond reform third reading. 3532 is the bond reform bill that came out of the House.
Yes.
They actually took that bill up, amended it, sent it back. They've been having subcommittee meetings about 368, which was their version.
Their version, I
guess, of bond reform. But they were carrying it over yesterday, right? You were in that sub.
I was in that sub, and this is good. So what they did was amended the Senate bill with the House language, which was really good because we're beyond crossover now.
Right.
And the House version was what crossed over.
Right.
And the subcommittee hearings, which we never got out of sub.
Right.
And that's because the House bill was already on special order in the Senate. So what the chairman of that sub did, Senator Gerald Malloy, was use those two subcommittee hearings to gather information and testimony from stakeholders who are interested in this space to kind of help his amendments and to make the bill better. And when we receded last week, he said, hey, I want to keep this space open. If you have more information that will help us strengthen this bill, we can come back Tuesday before we start, which I thought was a really good way to get all voices that are active in this space together to hopefully produce amendments that will strengthen the bill and make it better.
So on the floor, so what they did on Tuesday was a, you know, kind of a tactic they've used before to kind of keep things going. So they decided to give the bill second reading on Tuesday, but they, you know, waived the 3/5 voting requirement for amendments and they held the roll call for third reading. So they give it second reading to move it on down the road.
Yes.
And then Wednesday they came in and they really got into the amendments and they discussed, I think there were like 7 or 8 that they adopted. I think I'm counting that correctly. Don't hold me to it.
And there was a lot of collaboration. We saw a lot of moments where they stood at ease to kind of talk to each other. I want to say that happened at least 3 or 4 times where they wanted to work things out in a bipartisan fashion, which was good to see.
Yeah, it was really good to Senator Hembree, Greg Hembree from North Myrtle Beach, and it was Senator Malloy, Gerald Malloy from Darlington.
Senator Matthews as well.
Senator Bright Matthews. Mm-hmm. Senator Bright Matthews and Senator Sandy Sin from Waltsboro and Charleston, they worked together on a notification for victims.
Yes.
And they worked on an amendment for that because Senator Sin said that 24 hours, that was too long.
In a domestic violence situation. Mm-hmm. And it was so good to see because you have Senator Bright Matthews, who's holding the floor, who's a Democrat, having this conversation with a Republican. And they say, hey, let's go offline and let's work together on this. Come back online. And they have a compromise worked out. And you saw that throughout this bill, which I think is a good way to handle legislation.
Absolutely. Senator Brian Adams from Goose Creek, he was a part of all these conversations. Brad Hutto, Senator Hutto from Orangeburg. I agree with you 100%. It was the bipartisan effort. Nobody got bent out of shape.
Right.
And it was like, wait, did you write that or did I write that? Let's get together and talk about it. And I promise our listener that is where you get good legislation.
It was good to see. It was reassuring to see that. And also shout out to Senator Brian Adams. He's fairly new. He came on board while I was here with the Municipal Association. So it's kind of cool to see him have this opportunity.
Yeah. He really did a good job with this. So just a couple of highlights of the bill, Erica. It sets up electronic monitoring, right? The court can order electronic monitoring.
Yes.
And that is something that has to be worn on their person.
Correct.
Is what I understand. Is that right? Okay.
And there's two different types. And I learned this through subcommittee hearings over in the House where it's on someone's person, but there's also something that's attached to a cellular device.
Oh, okay.
So that's a whole different world that I'm learning with this bill. Yeah. But you also, what I thought was really good, you had, stakeholders from these companies who mm-hmm. came in mm-hmm. and testified in subcommittee on what they're able to do, what they may not be able to do on this bill. Mm-hmm. So the language that you see has been vetted through those companies as well.
They changed an effective date just based on the regs that SLED has to promulgate mm-hmm. related to the electronic monitoring. They talked about, Senator Malloy, one of his amendments set up a pre-trial reform commission.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So there are a lot of things going on in the bill, that they talked about, that they agreed to. Now it goes back over to the House.
Yes.
Because it's a House bill, they get the second bite. Mm-hmm. They can either concur on the Senate amendments, which the odds of that are what?
I'm not sure. Do you think this will go to conference?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like everything in the Senate was done with, they thought about it.
Right.
They talked about it.
The deliberative body.
Deliberative and so just, you know, in a compromising way. I would love it if the House said, gosh, y'all really did your research and just concurred and sent it to the governor to sign. But
well, here's what we know. This is a priority of not just the governor, but also and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the speaker mm-hmm. as well,
yes.
wanting to, as they say, close the revolving door. Mm-hmm. And Governor McMaster recently did a press conference about the need for bond reform.
He did it with our police chief and
Isla Palms.
After that incident that happened, chief was with him in a press conference and so, they were talking about it.
Yeah. So I know it's a priority of the House to get it done. And I'm trying to remember, I want to say they did, but listener, don't hold me to this. Once bond reform came out of the House, there was a press conference then.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I think that in the effort to move this forward, I'm hoping that we go ahead and get this
out of the way. That would be a huge win.
Yeah.
That would be a big success.
Agreed. A nice bipartisan win.
Yes.
Yeah. Love it.
So now let's talk about, well, along with bond reform, tort reform, mm-hmm. Senate Bill 87. Mm-hmm. That has been in a subcommittee for several weeks now. Mm-hmm. And that bill, they've not done anything to it. That bill increases limits.
Right.
We've talked about that. I think Scott talked about that last week. Or a week before maybe. But just to mention that to everybody, nothing has happened on that bill. Mm-hmm. It obviously didn't make crossover. Mm-hmm. So this is something that Senator Malloy, who's chairman of that subcommittee, he's slow walking it. He's another, you know, deliberative, very calm, slow, talking to stakeholders, getting all the information before anything happens.
Yeah. Well, let me say this about Senator Malloy. I know usually Scott will speak rightfully about Senator Tom Davis and the immense amount of respect that he has for Senator Davis.
He does.
I have to say it's been really cool watching Senator Malloy chairing these subcommittees mm-hmm. and how intentional he is about making sure he's gathering information. Everyone has an opportunity to speak. The mm-hmm. way that he engages with people who are speaking is no gotcha politics.
Right. Very respectful.
Very respectful. Yeah. Unless you keep cutting him off. There was somebody who did that and he got checked really quick.
Right.
But if you get the sense that his desire is just good legislation, mm-hmm. that makes sense. So mm-hmm. for me, I love Tom Davis as well.
Right.
But for me, the shining star of these past few weeks has been Senator Gerald Malloy. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten off the elevator a couple of times in the state house and he gives me a little head nod.
Right.
Like, we're besties now.
Right.
Hey, Senator.
Now we're friends. What's up?
Yes.
So that will continue on. They'll keep talking mm-hmm. about tort reform.
And they have been for a few sessions
now. They have. So they'll keep working on that. Yeah. Let's talk your favorite topic, ARP.
Yeah, you know me. Which Scott, yes, I did hear. It was a few episodes ago.
Right.
Where he said something about, you know me. He said, that's for you, Erica. And I rewound that like 8 times in the car.
You're
so
like,
yes, Scott, I caught it. Good job.
Thanks
Good
for
job.
The shout out.
I know.
So this is breaking news.
Just happened.
Moments ago, the Senate amended Senate Bill 604 mm-hmm. and sent it back to the House.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about the birthplace of Senate Bill 604.
Yes.
Since we're talking about birthplaces of celebrities in South Carolina, let's talk about the birthplace of 604. It came about because the House bill that was passed into Senate Finance mm-hmm. was hijacked, right?
Correct. The House ARP bill, which did the same thing that this bill does. Mm-hmm. So let's take it back to last session when the General Assembly allocated its ARP funds mm-hmm. to a host of different state agencies, right. SCDOT, the Office of Regulatory Staff, and the Office of Resilience. Well, the Rural Infrastructure Authority received, I think the number was over $700 million mm-hmm. to set up the SCIP program, South Carolina Infrastructure Investment Program.
Okay.
Those funds were only enough to fund 30% of the applications that they received. So the Rural Infrastructure Authority, led by Bonnie Ammons, mm-hmm. went to the General Assembly, requested more money, mm-hmm. got it. Got an additional $586+ million.
And that was
million.
Just the second part, like a second tranche. Is that right? From our federal money?
Kind of. Well, the state never allocated its full amount.
Okay. So that first one was the half.
Right.
Okay.
And so,
or not half, but
they allocated some. And okay. I always thought that they were holding on to some to give to other state agencies.
Okay.
So I was very pleasantly surprised at the beginning of the session mm-hmm. when a Governor McMaster requested, I think his amount was $300 million mm-hmm. to go to the Rural Infrastructure Authority. And the House was like, you know what? We can do better than that. Let's just give the rest of it
right.
to the Rural Infrastructure Authority. Well, that House resolution that was introduced by Speaker Merle Smith and Representative or Chairman Bruce Bannister mm-hmm. of Greenville, that came out of the House, went to Senate Finance, and then here's the Scout Motors opportunity.
Right.
And so they repurposed that or struck all of the language in that House resolution.
And they used the House resolution because it had already passed.
Yes.
Right. And it was just further along.
That's right. As a vehicle to get the Scout Motors incentive package done. And it's split. So what they did then was just introduce Senate Bill 604 to allocate the state's $586 million to the Rural Infrastructure Authority.
Right.
We, it passed out of the Senate, went over to the House. The House amended it
okay.
with some language. And I know you and Scott talked about this that mm-hmm. had to do with the, there were two amendments, the
yep.
rule and the Office of Resilience.
Yep.
And then there was an amendment by, I believe, Representative Gil Gatch.
Right. From Somerville.
From Somerville that said any member who disagreed or didn't mm-hmm. want these funds coming into their districts, mm-hmm. they could reject those dollars.
They could write a letter to
right.
Bonnie at the Rural Infrastructure Authority and say,
we don't want
don't
it.
Send, yeah,
we don't want the
want
money.
It.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Senate just took up the House right. amendments
right.
to Senate Bill 604, and they completely scrapped that last amendment by Representative Gil Gatch.
Yep.
But they also clarified the mm-hmm. House amendment regarding the Office of Resilience. And this was the first time that I heard this. And you said the same mm-hmm. thing, that that those dollars allocated to the Office of Resilience were to focus on Yorktown cleanup or cleanup
right,
around
contamination cleanup
yeah.
at the USS Yorktown. I had never heard that either.
I had not either.
But Senator Mike Gambrill was, and you know, mm-hmm. he was explaining the amendment
yeah.
and that's the language he said. This clarifies that
right.
Office of Resilience allocation.
The good news is that $586 million for the Rural Infrastructure Authority to fund more SCIP applications has not changed. So these
excellent.
Amendments, whether they've been added or deleted, they
it has
don't
not affected
impact.
That.
That's right. So now we have a Senate bill. Does this go back to the House now?
Yeah, it goes back to the House.
House
and they
yeah.
can they don't have another chance
right.
to amend. They either concur or non-concur.
My hope is that they go ahead and concur.
Yes.
And so that we can get these funds to
yes.
our members. And
yes.
so where we are now is I understand that the Office of Resilience, the Rural Infrastructure Authority has determined how they're going to allocate the awards
okay.
with these dollars, but it still has to go in front of their board, and that board meeting has not been set yet, which makes sense.
Right.
We don't know when the money's going to come
sure.
from the General Assembly.
Sure.
But we are hoping that it happens before May 2nd because that is when the Rural Infrastructure Authority will host its implementation workshop here in Columbia. And those projects that have been selected, those local governments have to attend this workshop.
Okay, so you need to know before May 2nd
correct.
Whether you've been. And how many have been awarded already? And then how many?
None have been awarded.
Nothing have been, but people know that they've been, do they know they've been selected yet?
Nope. No one knows anything yet. Our members know is they submitted applications.
Okay.
Some cities, I do have a list of all local governments that applied. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we don't know who's going to win, who's going to get these awards.
Okay. Got it.
At all. So everyone's waiting to hear, and we have a deadline. Because ARP projects have to be completed by December 31st, 2026. And right. So the longer we wait,
the less time people have to implement some of these projects. And Erica, their infrastructure, it's not like you're, you know, paint your nails or
correct.
Knitting a hat or filling your car up with gas.
And that has been the frustrating part mm-hmm. is to know that there are people waiting on these funds. Mm-hmm. And to listen to the amendments today, you know, you kind of wonder, why can't we just do this Tuesday,
right?
You know,
let's just do it.
But we know that bond reform was a priority, so
right yeah. Let's just get it done. Mm-hmm. Will you mention about the ARP reporting, or there's something
yes.
there's an issue with the portal, or there's something going on with the reporting portal or something?
Yes, thank you. So all cities and towns, regardless if you're an NEU or a metro city, mm-hmm. you have to submit a project and expenditure report by April 30th of this year.
And this is from the direct allocation, right? Like what they got directly.
Either from Treasury or our NEUs received it from the admin.
Right. Okay.
So you have to get into Treasury's reporting portal and submit your report. Well, we haven't done this in like a year.
Right.
And so what we're finding is there's been a lot of turnover in cities and towns. So the person who accessed the portal last year is gone. And
there.
Now you have people who can't get into the portal. If you have trouble, Treasury did send out an email to walk you through how to change whoever needs to access that portal.
Okay, good.
But we are here to help. And I have to give a huge shout out to Ashley and Charlie, our field service managers,
yes.
who are on the ground, literally sitting with municipal managers, administrators, mayors,
God, that's awesome.
Walking them through submitting their report. Mm-hmm. And that is huge. And so I know a lot of people think Erica when they hear ARP.
Right.
It's really Charlie and Ashley who are helping cities and towns implement that. And so I would be remiss if I didn't shout them out.
So we're looking at that reporting deadline is when?
April 30th.
Yes. So end of the month.
Yes.
It's coming up. It's coming up.
That's right.
But they can call you.
You can call me.
If you, and your, information is on our website.
It's on our website.
www.masc.sc.
That's right. Oh, that was good.
Thank you. I've listened to Scott do it for 10 years. So I
just get jumbled. I can't. I'm done.
One more piece of legislation that I want to talk about that is stuck.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out mm-hmm. how to unstuck it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. House Bill 3014. It's the Clemenda Pinckney Hate Crimes Act. It was passed by the House, mm-hmm. came over to the Senate, came out of subcommittee and committee.
That's right.
And it is on the calendar in the Senate, but with three senators objecting to the bill.
That was tough because it's so funny. It's not really. But before they took it up and those senators objected, I was mm-hmm. having a conversation with another lobbyist. And I used mm-hmm. to even say it every day, like, it's still uncontested.
Right.
Like, this is good. It's still uncontested. And they went to go take it up and mm-hmm. senators put their names on it, which stops it in its tracks. And
right.
so that's where we are. Right mm-hmm. now, and it's only three right now.
Okay.
But these are the same three that objected to it the last
right.
time.
Senators Cash from Anderson.
Uh-huh.
Senators Corbin, he's from Traveler's Rest, right?
Yes,
and then
Senator Loftus
from Greenville. Okay.
Yes. And so at this point, Casey, and you know this world a lot better than I do, the way to get around that is putting this bill on special order. And I'm not sure that the desire to do that is there. Mm-hmm. That is something that is done by the Senate Majority Leader.
Right.
And so we're not fully out of this yet. If we can get a majority of, and this is coming from conversations that we've had with Senator Davis, if mm-hmm. we can get a majority of the caucus to request mm-hmm. that this bill be put on special order, perhaps that will
move it. And the reason we're following this bill, the Municipal Association Board of Directors adopted mm-hmm. this as one of our advocacy initiatives mm-hmm. For obvious reasons, and also For economic development reasons,
right?
Because of a lot of our cities and towns are losing tournaments, festivals, you know, things like that, because right. we are one of two states that do not have a hate crimes bill.
Well, let me say this, and Mr. Producer, just cut me out if you need to.
No, don't.
The reason that this bill just needs to go ahead and be debated. There are some senators that we talked to, that some of our mayors have talked to, mm-hmm. that have issues with mm-hmm. the bill, but agree that the bill should be debated mm-hmm. and want to, through mm-hmm. the amendment process, like we saw with bond reform,
yes.
make the bill what they feel would be a better bill. Mm-hmm. I believe Senator Tom Davis is the perfect person. He's yep. such a great statesman mm-hmm. to listen to senators when they have an actual a point that makes sense.
Right.
And let's make this bill better. But we're not seeing that. We're seeing, nope, I don't want it, and cannot get answers as to why. And mm-hmm. that's the frustrating part, is give it its day. And if you want to vote no, vote
right.
no.
That's
but
right.
just to stop it in its tracks.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem. I mean, here's the ironic thing. Mm-hmm. When we don't want a bill to move forward, that's our favorite thing to do.
Right.
You know,
right.
is object
right.
to a bill.
Yes.
But when we
yes.
do want a bill to move forward, then we say, just debate it.
Just debate it.
Which I think this is a bill, whether you like it or not, that deserves its day.
I agree.
Just like you said, it deserves its day.
And that's the frustrating part, is take your objections and let's make the bill better.
Right.
If we can. But the fact that we can't even do that in a state where, and this is where we had a conversation, we were in a room of municipal managers, and we listed the states that have hate crimes legislation before mm-hmm. us, Mississippi, mm-hmm. Alabama. That's hard to say out loud. So I'm hoping that, you know, something will change, something will happen, but we do appreciate our mayors. We've had so many mayors engage
on this. Oh my gosh,
we
sure have. We've had cities pass resolutions.
Yes, Clemson was the latest. They just passed one last week, I think. So shout out to Andy, who reached out and wanted some assistance on that.
And we've had so many mayors calling and
yep.
and telling their senator, just debate the mm-hmm. bill, you know, mm-hmm. pass it. We support this. Just
yeah.
go ahead and, you know,
cheers
debate the
to
bill.
Local leadership.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I do know.
We know that,
I do
you know.
Know,
granted, we are very, we're biased around here, but
we
do think local is best.
Yeah.
The government closest to the people governs
and
best. We do believe that.
That's the part. Closest to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we, now, to put it in perspective, it's a House bill that's made crossover. This mm-hmm. is the, you know, the end of the first session of a 2-year session.
Yeah.
So we've got a whole nother session.
That's
but,
true.
But why?
Correct.
You know, why?
Why are we here?
Why are we waiting?
And if you really don't want to see it again,
mm-hmm.
have the debate and vote.
And finish it out.
And give it its day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. I felt like E-Dubs was about to come out.
She almost did. That was some restraint. That was some restraint.
I was kind of hoping she was going
to. She was coming. I was talking real slow.
I noticed that.
Yes.
I noticed it. I was kind of hoping. I was trying to think about while you were talking. I was like, what can I say that will
mm-hmm.
bring out E-Dubs?
She was close.
But this is, Erica, this is an important issue.
It is. And
I think the majority.
Here's where E-Dub is going to emerge.
Okay.
To know, and I don't know if this is going to make the cut or not, but to know the state that we are in and to hear other states such as Alabama and Mississippi and knowing the history there.
That's right.
For them to take that step and pass hate crimes legislation. Mm-hmm. And here we are in our state and we can't get it done. And I'm speaking as someone from Charleston.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's tough. I can't justify it. And when people call and ask, mm-hmm. we've had a U.S. senator call, remember last
yep,
year,
I do.
And ask why. And the response was, Senator, I know what I think, but I don't know the answer to that. And
right.
that's embarrassing because I don't have anything to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you should.
Mm-hmm.
And you should.
Agree.
Anything else that we need to talk about that you can think of that is important to, this has been, so the House this week, the House was on furlough.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not meet in subcommittee or committee, and they didn't meet in session. It was only the Senate.
Yeah.
And the Senate spent more time really in on the floor than they did in subcommittee or committee. Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesday at noon, Senator Peeler, chairman of Senate Finance, just announced that they will start the budget.
Yeah.
And that is in masthead position on the calendar, which means they do that before they do anything else.
Shout out to Joni Nickel.
That's right. It's your week next week, JN. It is your week, Joanie. Yes. So they start on Tuesday debating the Senate Finance version of the budget. I've heard rumors that there are legislators that really want to finish the budget before they adjourn in May.
Yeah.
Only to come back one time to handle vetoes.
Okay.
The gubernatorial vetoes.
That's good.
I don't know if that'll happen, but we can hope.
We can hope. And while that's happening in the Senate, we have a lot of Senate bills that are now in the House that we're hoping they crossed over. So we're in good shape, but I'd love to see them close out. So that's our Senate Bill 31, municipal audits. Yes. That's Senate Bill 284 that Scott has
affordable
worked
housing.
So well on with Senator Davis and others, the affordable housing bill, squat trucks.
The squat trucks is, so both of those bills.
You're right.
Squat trucks. And what was the other one? I knew I was going to forget this. Squat trucks, both versions
fentanyl.
Have passed.
Fentanyl.
That's made crossover. We've got a lot still for 4 weeks, I think, left. We have 4 weeks left in the legislative session. May 11th at 5 o'clock. I've not seen a sine die resolution. That resolution governs, you know, when they can come back and what they can take up. So we'll be keeping an eye out on that. And we're going to be watching. We've got some, we're getting down to the wire. Things get really, like you saw last session where things get hairy.
Yeah. So I was in, so I attend when I can, South Carolina Black Caucus meetings Tuesdays at 10. And then the Dem Caucus, they meet at 11. And the House Minority Leader, Todd Rutherford, I thought he did a great job of educating, particularly new members. Which I think there were only two new.
Right.
But just reminding them, okay, guys, we're in the home stretch. Here's what to expect. Things are going to come quick.
Yes.
They're going to come fast. You have got to pay attention. And as he's talking to his fellow Dems, it's like the same could be said to us lobbyists. Like you've got to pay attention.
That's exactly right.
Your bills can get amended. You don't know what you're going to see. So here we go.
People are going to use your bill for something else and they're going to try to amend it because it's crossed.
Now E-Dub really about to come out. That happened to me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I had a staff member call and say, hey, how do you feel about this amendment? I'm like, what amendment? Hold please. And that was a moment.
That's incredible. So we're hoping all of our bills stay clean.
Yes.
And they get passed before the end of the session. There's, you know, the budget really is the last big thing that they've got to get done. They've passed. I read an article in the newspaper today that both chambers, majority party leaders said that, you know, they'd gotten a good bit of what they wanted to get done, not necessarily signed into law, but passed out of the chamber.
Yeah.
And so they were, you know, they were still working on a couple more things, but they've got to finish the budget. And there's some, you know, there's some things of ours that are left out there that we don't really want to carry over into 2024.
That's correct.
Which is hard to say. 2024.
And I graduated in 2000 from high school and no one knew if things were going to work. Y2K, remember that?
I graduated from college in 2000.
Oh,
that's great. Now I'm the one making the old jokes at myself.
I love it.
Fantastic. I usually make them at Scott now. But I mean, Scott's a lot older than I am.
Scott and I went to the same undergrad institution, which we did not talk about the WNBA draft. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But shout out to the Freshies.
That's right.
And Queen Dawn Staley.
I mean, that's incredible.
I don't know how they got there from here.
They should have won the championship again.
Agreed. But so invest in women's sports. But I started to say we also have bills, we will not name them, that did not make crossover. And we are not mad at that.
That's right. We are not upset.
We're glad that they did not move.
That's right.
So
we
that's
are not
good.
Upset. Yes. And we have bills that are contested that we're not upset about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will shout out the Kickin' Koalas, my daughter's soccer team, and the Mavs. My son's baseball team. We've got games and tournaments this weekend.
Those are my friends, guys.
That's right. Erica does have a secret handshake with my son that he will not show anybody else.
But, that's my guy.
But Erica. Yes. Now I'm going to go back. Speaking of celebrities, my children, not really. I'm going to go back to our trivia question. What city is the birthplace of actor Chadwick Boseman?
So I initially was going to say Georgetown, but that's wrong. It's Anderson.
The city of Anderson in the upstate.
Anderson. Shout out to the
What is your favorite Chadwick Boseman movie?
42.
Hands down. Better than Black Panther?
He's such a good actor, but he played Jackie Robinson in 42, and I was angry. I cried. Uh-huh. I cheered. But he also played Thurgood Marshall in the movie Marshall.
Oh. Was that his last movie?
No.
There was a movie that was his last one. Now
that
I can't
one was with Viola
one.
Davis.
That's right. That's right.
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
That's exactly right. That's
that
right.
was good. That was an August Wilson play turned movie. But Thurgood. Oh, okay. And he also played. It's a man's world. Who's that?
Oh, James Brown.
James Brown. Amazing. Get on up. He is such. I mean, for you to be able to play Thurgood Marshall.
That's right. James Brown.
James Brown.
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson.
And Black Panther.
He's just, and unfortunately, I did see Wakanda Forever, and it just was not the same.
It wasn't, not without
it,
him.
It was not the same. It was not as good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to keep going down the celebrity trivia path, Mr. Producer.
I just sang on the podcast, James Brown. Edit that out, please.
No. Do it and you will never be invited back. we're keeping all this on the podcast because it's amazing. Everybody, stay with us. We've got several more weeks of technical podcast, if you can call it this technical, but technical legislative podcast material. And then we're going to start interviewing people. We're going to start talking about politics in general, and it's going to be a lot of fun during the off season.
I'm excited about that.
Everybody stick around and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.